Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm Maddox Campbell. Joining me this time, we have Megan McConnell.
Hello.
And Ralph McLeod.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And the movie we're going to be breaking down is the 2019 horror film, The Room. Not The Room that's famous for just being a bad film. A horror film called The Room, much more recent, that has a room in it that grants wishes, even though they try to vaguely make it seem like it's science, I guess, in the film.
Yeah.
It's just magic. You can tell it's just magic. What was your guys' experience with this film before I called you about it? Had you seen it before? Had you heard of it even?
Okay. I had seen it once before, but I had completely forgotten until I was about 15 minutes in. And I slowly remembered that despite the interesting concept, nothing really happens.
It just sort of vague. Oh, yeah, I do remember this. This is something I have seen.
Yeah. And then they kind of have I don't know if you've seen the movie Slice, but it has a very similar moment in Slice where.
Wait, do you mean Splice? The genetic?
Yeah, sorry. That's the one. Yeah, Splice.
Okay.
Where.
Because I was going to say Slice is a drink, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
It's a percentage of a citrus?
Yeah.
Or a percentage of knives? Like cheese.
Yeah. There's lots of things that can be sliced.
Oh, well, yeah. No, but I think there's like a Pepsi slice or a 7-Up slice. Maybe
not. Maybe no, that's true.
Maybe a dream bat.
Well, 7-Up is a slice of citrus.
Maybe okay. That's it. Okay. Anyway, I'm glad we talked about this.
So you've seen it before, but you didn't quite remember. But you are thereby our most experienced viewer of this one.
Oh, such an honor.
What about you, Ralph?
I had never heard of it, nor had I. What else is there beyond? I'd never heard of it.
That's as little knowledge as you can have, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It was a revelation. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Oh, boy, was it.
I think I know once I started watching it, I realized, oh, I'd seen a couple minutes of it because my roommate had been watching it.
Ah, yes.
And I just picked it off the list of like films about wish fulfillment. So that's why I thought to look it up, and I looked up the trailer and go, oh, okay, that's it. That is an interesting concept. The core premise of this film is pretty interesting. You have a magic room that you can make whatever physical objects you want inside of it, as long as they don't leave the house that the room is contained within.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool idea. There's lots to explore in that idea.
I have to agree with you 100%. I was like, oh, that's a really cool idea, especially, you know, given, you know, the time in which we live, and it's all about the I generation and having instant gratification in so many ways. I'm like, oh, this is a really cool concept. I can't wait to see how they mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they spend like 20 minutes on a montage of them partying like they're 18, but they wish for $1 million, but never try to leave the house to spend it.
Yeah,
that took them too long to realize the limitation.
Yeah.
On the one thing. Okay. In case we have, and I think it is fair to assume that we probably do have some listeners who haven't seen this film themselves yet, I'm going to try a little synopsis of the major plot points. Cool. You guys tell me if I miss anything. Good
luck. There's only like three major plot points, so.
I shouldn't take it too long then. All right. There is a couple from Europe, somewhere in Europe, that moved to an American
Belgium.
Old abandoned house that they bought. No. When they ask, he specifically just says it's Europe.
Oh, when he was talking to the woman at some point, like the wife or whatever, he was like, Belgium, blah, blah. That's how he sounds.
Maybe they're from Belgium. Okay. They decide to buy this American house in upstate New York without having looked at it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also ask how she on a salary as an underpaid interpreter and he as an artist with no visible means of income can buy that house?
I think they got it for a deal. I think they got a really good deal.
Like all those horror houses type thing. It's always like, oh, this is the only place that we can get. And it's huge.
And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but they definitely like didn't get a house inspector. Like they didn't get a building inspector. They didn't go through the normal means.
No.
Because there's no way that would have passed inspection.
Yeah,
right?
The wiring.
Wiring.
There's exposed wire everywhere in this house. Off topic already. Okay. They bought the old spooky haunted house. Mm-hmm. They're cleaning it out. They're going to move in here. But then they find this room. And while the husband is drinking in the room, he goes, I wish I had another drink. Magically, the drink just appears. And he realizes this room will create whatever physical things they ask for. Money, expensive caviar, real paintings, whatever. So they party it up like teenagers, as Megan said. But then one of them goes, hey, mate, let's try for a baby again. And they go, no, I don't want to. We had miscarriages. I want a baby, but I can't go through that. And then immediately when he goes for our drive, she uses the room to make a baby, a living, conscious thing.
Without talking about it first, just, hey, here's a baby for you.
Here's a reminder of our wants and goals that we have not brought up yet, and then immediately resolve it. He goes, that's not a great idea. But he's not going to kill a baby. So they then find out, he finds out when he leaves the house with some money that everything disintegrates if it leaves the house, if it was made in the room. He also finds out about like the murder that happened there before, and that there's a man who no one could find any information on, John Doe, who had once lived in the house and then killed the people living there.
Well, they didn't know he lived in the house. He was just in a mental asylum and blamed the room. They didn't know where he lived.
He blamed the room.
Yeah.
Correct. The mother, without finding out about the rules of the room, takes the baby outside, and he quickly grows to being about 12, because that's how the time works outside the room before they get him back inside the house. So now they have a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Strife, the kid shows that he's not super stable, because of course he wouldn't. He's missing 12 years of learning how to be a human.
Yeah.
Although he is smart enough to have a British accent.
Yeah, I was going to say, somehow he's British.
I did not understand how that happened. Yeah. to people and, with French accents.
And he's blonde. He's super blonde, and they're both like brunettes.
I'll come back to that in a bit, because that has a theory to me. That has a theory to me. Okay. So strife, family, tension, strife. but I don't know. Eventually, they find out through the guy, the John Doe, that the only way for the child to exit the house is for the person who wished for him to die, which is the mother.
Yeah.
Causes more strife and tension. They fight with the child and, oh, she gets knocked unconscious and wakes up. She thinks with her husband having the child having died and disappeared, but it's a ruse. They're actually inside the room and he created an entire world inside there because he's trying to love his mother and hide the father. Fight. They actually do manage to escape the room and leave the child. The child ends up disintegrating into an old man.
Don't miss the part where the child tries to hump his mom.
Happens. I just put that in the hole trying
He doesn't try to. He rapes his mother.
Yes.
Yes, they eventually. Don't show it
on screen, but he does. Yeah. Because of implied ending at the end.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't make sense, and I'll get into. But
that's the splice part.
That's the slice part. Okay. Yeah. Splice.
Set up slice.
They've managed to oldify their baby and escape its psychopathicness. But, oh no, maybe the mother is now pregnant with a new baby made by a figment of their imagination in a magic room.
And she's locked him out. He's like, let me in. And also, he has takeout coffee in the middle of nowhere.
What is that detail about?
It's just, why does he have takeout coffee in the middle of nowhere? Like, where did he get it?
Oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
I wasn't super worried about coffee. Okay.
I'm always worried about coffee.
up until the point where the kid tries to, well, he does, and rape his mother, I was kind of on his side. He's like, I can understand. You're like discombobulated. You're just like a child, and now you're an adult, and like, people are talking about killing you, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's a stressful situation.
It is a stressful situation. Yeah, that kid does not have a good chance to be a stable human.
Not really.
And he's under a year old.
The person who makes the biggest mistake is definitely the mother.
Well,
wishing a human being without understanding the rules of the room fully yet.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to analyze
a couple more experiments,
yeah.
if we're going to analyze this movie through the story structure, it comes up lacking multiple times.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere.
Yes. Okay. So, what does the movie do that is clever? I always try to start on some of the good things. Let's talk about what moments do kind of make sense or are kind of interesting.
When the kid creates an outside inside, like the forest.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool idea too. And it makes it that one does make sense to me too. The idea, okay, the room can create anything. So what if you just say, well, create everything?
Yeah, and he can't go outside, so it allows him these opportunities that he can't because he is the quote-unquote figment.
Yeah.
And that was the moment as I was watching it. I was like, okay, you have a second chance. You've rehooked me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what you do with it. And then it fails.
But
that was my favorite moment too. Was like, oh yes, of course. Like the gimmick of the room, I thought was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Really poorly executed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been such a great movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of little things too that just keep on striking you of like, you probably could have spent an extra 5 minutes and made this plot hole make more sense, but you didn't. Like it's got that weird key and yet he just puts it in a drawer. It's like the most powerful thing in the universe. And he stores both pieces of the key in the same drawer. It's like, well, you know, like do something with that. Do that. Like, okay, the key comes in two parts. Each of you have to hold a part of the key and you can only use it together. It's so powerful. Have some sort of system like that.
Or the fact that when the baby appears, all of a sudden the mother can nurse it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's
not explained.
Not explained. And it's like just lazy, sloppy writing.
Yeah.
That's just lazy.
Yeah.
Cause or exactly like we said before, the kid has a British accent.
Yes.
That's sloppy. Yeah. Like, there's just no all reason. You need to do is put in like one line of like, well, he's been watching a lot of like British TV to learn how to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. I'd buy that.
Or get a kid that can do the same accent as the parents. Like, it's not like this film had a huge cast. There's like 5-6 people in this entire cast and only three of them in 90% of the scenes.
Yeah.
So you could have found a kid who can do the same accent or given them a couple of days to learn their accent. Yeah. I don't like when the kid made himself look like the father.
Yes.
Right.
In the room. That felt like a breaking of the rules. Like, okay, you can create an outside world. I'll even give you create an entire outside world. Create. What physical thing did you create? Did you create a skin suit that looked like him and let you move like him?
Yeah.
Or, right. I don't know. Yeah,
I know that made no sense. And also, like, are we not worried about the other mother, Kate, that was created and is now inside the room somewhere, and she's just sitting there over the body of her dead husband?
Like, yeah, yeah,
right. When they made like the mannequins of themselves,
yeah,
but didn't give them brains or something. That seems like a very specific, dangerous request, especially considering you're currently on the run from a figment human you created.
Yes, yeah.
It's the old woman who swallowed a fly, right?
Yeah. So. But we started this conversation with like, what are the things that we liked? And outside of the actual creation of the room that gives you whatever you want, and the creating of the outside inside the room, I think that's it.
That's it.
I kind of like the design of the machine.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The machine in the basement looked cool. Like it grabs plot holes of like, why wouldn't someone bring up the fact that you have a giant machine in the basement before you buy the house? Why is that a surprise?
Yeah. Well, and when he went through the wall, he went through like a mile of wall before he got to the other side, which when you go through the door, it's just a normal wall size.
Wow.
So that was kind of weird, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many plot holes in this, or holes like that. We could drive trucks through day and night. Yeah.
It's,
if you start paying attention to that stuff, you're going, shoot me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
It's an attempt to sci-fi, I think, that's also very much magic, right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the things would make more sense if they were magic too. Like the idea that something created in the room can only leave if its creator is killed.
Yeah.
That seems like a magic rule. That doesn't seem like a science rule.
Yeah. Well, sometimes things like that, like the way it looked was kind of like the old ideas of like at least how we'd write stories about alchemy.
Right.
Where you kind of use science and magic.
Steampunk.
Like, like that's kind of more what I felt it was. Especially with that mess of wires and like the pulmonary system, basically.
Upstate New York, too. Do you think it's supposed to be a Tesla thing? Because Tesla's always basically got magic.
Yeah, like that's people essentially how I saw it.
To him that are basically
magic. It was probably created around that time or a little earlier, and it just no one's lived there since the family. They got deaded.
The only other thing I did like was the fact that the John Doe.
Yeah.
Was actually a John Doe, was a kid, was another figment, was another kid that was created in the room and had to kill his parents. I did like that little, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I kind of wish he had a bigger part in it all. Like, they just kind of threw him in and gave him two scenes.
Yeah.
Well, I think he existed just to give them information that they couldn't possibly find anywhere else.
Yes. They didn't use him. Well, that's the writing. It's down to writing again. Like, it's just poorly written.
Yeah, I think he gave one of the best performances, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a crazy old man. I escaped not existing. And you know what? They stuck me in an insane asylum, but worth it.
I'm alive. So
I'm real now.
I'm a real boy.
I'm a real boy. All right.
Yeah.
So feel free to come back to any of these specific things and complain about them more. Because, yeah, there are lots of plot holes worth complaining about.
Well, for me, it's more the plot. It's less the plot holes than like all these characters are. We have no idea of their motivations.
No.
And there's no like, as we said, like the mother creates life, but she pays no penalty for that.
Correct. And you don't care not about any of them. Yeah. Like
it's a long term cost, and it's all messy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like lines up right story wise. Right.
But
I'm saying, okay, so let's say we have this power. We all know all the same rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would we use it? How would we be smarter than them? What are the good uses of a room with this power? So it can create any physical object. I don't think you can make skin suits because that's bullshit. Let's all agree that was just a fluke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can basically create any physical object, even something bigger than the room itself, but it can't leave the house, and you have to experience it in the room. What things are the best things to make by that estimation?
To me, it's a big amusement park. It's really what it is. It's like, oh, come on in. You can rent this place for 24 hours. Go to town. and then you're done.
Yeah.
And then you leave and you never come back.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Because you can make real money off of it.
You can definitely use it as a holodeck, right? Like it is basically better than a holodeck, works on all the same rules, right?
And you don't have to explain it to anyone. It's magic.
Exactly. No one's going to come and check your files. You can just say delete everything in here at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it could delete things, right? Like you could ask it to take things away.
Yeah, they were going to do that with the baby, but they didn't try it because she couldn't do it. And then he's like, I'll do it for you. And then he's like,
right.
And walks away.
So they thought it could do that, but they never actually tried.
Yeah, there's no evidence. Through. Yeah.
That is an interesting factor.
Oh, yeah, right. And again, talking about like it's terrible writing. Like when he locks, or not he locks, but he doesn't tell his wife, like taking the baby outside could kill it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She does it.
Yeah.
He pays, she doesn't come in and she goes like, why didn't you tell me? There's no showdown over that. It's like,
yeah.
Well, and when
that felt like that should have been a bigger thing.
Well, yeah, and when it happens, she just stays there. She doesn't like mother instinct bring him inside suddenly. She just stands there crying. And then the dad's inside like, let her deal with it. Let her deal with it. Okay, now I'm going out. Like, why is no one being like, oh, shit, let's bring the child inside. It's burning.
I think it's supposed to be that he thinks this is his way to get rid of the child. He doesn't want to exist.
But she does it too, though. She just stays there.
Yeah, I guess she doesn't know what's happening, and he does. I'm trying to make excuses for it, but it still doesn't read that way.
Yeah.
In the moment, it reads like, why are you not just telling her what the rules are? Or, you know, if you really just want the baby gone, then why didn't you just do it? Like this weird middle ground of and then giving up part way when it's a baby and it's a bigger problem now, or when it's a child and it's a bigger problem than a baby.
But to get back to your question about like what's the best use of this, I think anything more than an amusement park, it becomes problematic in that it becomes a replacement for like all kinds of things, right? Like they said, the room will provide, and you can just live there, and you can just lose yourself, like the way you could with any kind of drug or any kind of anything.
Any addiction that
gives you a pleasure buzz and.
Yeah. I think I found an edge case, and you guys tell me if you think this would work. It says it can create any object that exists in the world, basically. Mm-hmm. It seems to be able to create things that he could just ask for. Like, so he asked for paintings, and they created them in perfect detail, even though he wouldn't know every detail by my memory, so he couldn't have that information. It wasn't scanning his brain for that. It actually was creating it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you can use it to get information. Like if you wanted to use it for corporate espionage to get a look at someone's books, you say like, I want, the financial records of IBM and then they're there. And then you can see if that company is something you should invest in or you want someone's diary. You can get their diary and it has all their secrets in it. So if you're using it for information, you don't need the physical object. You need what it looks like. You need to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you can ask for something like that, then you don't need to take it out of the house. You just need to have it to inspect it.
The information that you glean from it.
Right. Exactly.
Show me the Facebook's what's that word?
I don't know what you're looking for here.
Algorithm?
That's it. Show me Facebook's algorithms. I want to see that stuff.
Yeah, written out. You want to see all the code written out.
And understand
it. It has to be something that physically exists, though. So you'd either have to ask for the computer and then get the password, or you'd have to hope they printed out the algorithm somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. Okay. But I like that idea, like getting information, knowledge.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, they create people. What about creating specific people? Like, I want to bring back my dead parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or my dead spouse. You could visit them, or my dead child, right? You could bring them back and live with them.
Yeah.
The trick
is just that, they then become a prisoner. They can't leave the house themselves, or you got to kill them when you're done with them, right?
Or you can pull a Bill and Ted and just get like Genghis Khan and Napoleon and have a party with them.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be any, you still got to kill Genghis Khan, but I don't feel that bad about that.
No, No.
Like, one, they already are dead, so cool. And also, not that great a guy.
No.
So, okay, cool. Maybe like you just want to summon up some of the great, great partiers of history and then lock them out of the house at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Have a safe drive home. Oh, wait. Oh, you're falling down. Oh,
oops.
I guess the trick would be, it would be very dangerous to bring back Genghis Khan for a party. And then if he kills you during the party, He's just an escape, and you just brought back one of the greatest conquerors of all history.
Worth it. I mean,
but he can't escape because the minute he leaves the house, he dies.
Not so. If he kills
but if he
you.
If he kills you, then he can't. Then he can't.
Oh, right, if he kills me. Yeah. Oh my god, that's right.
Yeah.
So
you party too hard and you die.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets to the walk free. And you've just unleashed evil in the world, right?
Yeah. And
but could you? Do you think you could? Oh no! You said it has to exist in the world, so you couldn't wish for something that doesn't exist. Well, he said dragons.
Yeah, he was worried about dragons.
He was worried the kid would summon dragons. Yeah,
right.
That was.
I think that was just. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think they. Otherwise, they didn't summon anything that doesn't exist or couldn't possibly exist. So maybe you could summon a dinosaur, but I don't think you could summon a dragon.
Well, could I summon God?
Son of a bitch!
I would say no.
Right.
I would say no. Some other people might disagree with that assessment.
He would say no, but he was worried about dragons.
Yeah.
But I think he was wrong on that. I think he said that, but I think he's wrong.
Something right. that could
I think
exist.
His idea was right.
Plus, this is a science movie, not a magic movie. So the machine can't create something more powerful than itself. Right?
Yeah. Dragons.
It's a weird definition of what is power. Yeah. But yeah, I think his idea was right that like you can't put a kid in there because he could create anything dangerous.
Yeah,
like that kid could make an atom bomb or something if he knew to ask for it. Like he watched a special on war history and then sees an atom bomb and goes, "I want one of those," and then can make one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he could make a dragon because I don't think a dragon exists ever at all.
Hmm.
I mean, what about a dinosaur?
But yeah, he could definitely make a dinosaur.
It's kind of like
it'd be
a dragon.
Way more feathery than he would expect because he would expect it like Jurassic Park. But actually, dinosaurs had feathers, folks, and don't look as cool as you'd think.
Just saying.
So that's my actual read of it. I think it has to exist. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you disagree? Do you guys think it could make something that like doesn't exist or something? Like if you ask for something,
well,
really, really impossible.
Technically, their child didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they had to that. Were miscarriages, so possibly through that having semi-existed at some point, it was one of those kids. So
it created one of their past children, but healthy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be that.
Maybe.
No. One of my other thoughts here was: okay, who is the father? Because she wished for her child. We don't know the phrasing she used, but she went into the room and she wished for her child. We don't necessarily know that it is the husband's son.
We don't even know if it has her DNA.
I guess not. But like, if she asked for her child, I feel like it would have her DNA, sort of. But then, like,
yeah, like, did she ask for a baby or my baby or our
baby? Else's baby?
Yeah,
yeah.
It seemed like she asked for a British baby.
So maybe she stole some British baby.
Yeah.
Or not stole it because it still exists, but she copied some British person's baby. That might explain the accent.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If accents are ingrained in the blood.
Because accents are hardwired in her DNA. I think the baby, to me, demonstrates that you could ask for things that don't exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, babies exist, but not that specific baby.
That specific baby doesn't exist. Okay. So you think you could ask for a dragon then?
I think so. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
So then I wonder if my thing still works then. So if you can ask for things that don't exist, if you ask for something that you don't have knowledge of but want to know, can the machine know something you don't know to give you information? Or does it just make what you would guess that thing would be?
Well, the child didn't know the outside, right? He could kind of see it from the windows, but...
Right.
He didn't know the full details of forest and snow, probably, because he wasn't even a year old.
So, he would never have seen snow, and he made snow. Yeah. I mean, that was some fake-looking snow.
I was going to say, maybe that's why the snow is so... Maybe that's why the snow looks so fake, is because that's his idea of snow. It's not real snow.
Definitely has nothing to do with set design.
Potato flakes or something,
And that snow didn't melt, because the surrounding temperature was clearly above zero, because no one wore coats.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was wearing a coat. The kid was wearing a toque and a coat.
So he must have seen it in a movie or something. What snow, a toque, and a coat looked like.
Yeah.
But when his parent, like when the guy went in that room at the end, he walked through the snow that was still on the ground. He wasn't shivering.
Because he's a man.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
as a man, I'm going to say you're right about that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, Megan, do you have any other ideas of edge cases? Anything you would do with such a room?
Well, I mean, right now is kind of the perfect time to have a room like that when people are supposed to be staying inside anyway. So you can create all the fun that you would want to have outside. Like an outside inside would be definitely a number one thing. I'd presume people who are, you know, safely isolating or a better, more soundproof recording booth.
okay. Yeah.
You know, any of those things that would be highly useful in the cases where you can't go outside because they couldn't with their stuff. So
you could travel the world sort of too, right? Like you can go Pyramids of Egypt.
Yeah.
If you can create the world outside your apartment or outside your creepy house, you can go anywhere. Just got to ask for it.
Yeah. You'd go to Mars.
Damn.
That wouldn't be great for your breathing. That would be cold.
You can wish for an apparatus.
Yeah.
Okay. You can wait. Yeah. Wish for that. Just make sure you do that in the right order. Yes. Wish for the spacesuit first, then to travel to Mars. Don't mix that up.
Fair enough. It's true.
Okay. I want to bring up another thing that doesn't quite make sense to me, and I want to see what you guys think about it. Nice. So a couple of times they consume food and then leave the house. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was curious.
And at the end of the film, as we mentioned, she left the house with a zygote in her and then was then later pregnant. So when things are intermingled with real matter, do they then change enough to be able to exist outside the house? Because otherwise, whenever they ate something, if they stepped out of the house, they should turn into dust in their stomachs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. All the nutrition would be gone. But they did kind of bang before she got pregnant. Started banging. They cut away mid-bang. But like, it could be a legitimate child.
Well, no, it's about the same. He's a figment, though.
No. So like the end pregnancy, I mean.
Oh, you think it's actually the husband. The pregnancy could actually be the husband and the scare is just a scare.
Yeah, and they just don't know. So it's like, do we have it or do we not? Do we terminate a possibly real baby by wishing it away? Or because that's the only reason to lock the husband out while you're trying to decide what you want to do. Otherwise, why? Right. Like, they have the worst communication of any couple ever. They should not be together.
Like, they should not be together, no.
Let's make all of our decisions on our own.
That's true. That's 100% true. They should not be together. But we know from the buzzing light in the hotel room at the end that it's the baby. That's her son's quote unquote baby.
Mm-hmm. So it also could be a real, not wish baby. That's half figment.
Yes.
Let's not blame that baby though. Cause I think that baby's fine. Like it's not his fault that
it's not that baby's fault.
I think the kid. Yeah. The kid's problems are all from being, you know,
but I didn't even think it was a half figment baby.
Yeah. It's problems are from being a week old and being an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And just having, and then not having a healthy parenting relationship either. While one's a hermit and the other one's trying to make it seem like it's okay while being a shut in.
This movie is like the master of like, oh, here's 1,000 different themes and we'll deal with none of them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no payoff.
Everything from bad parenting to the Oedipus complex to having endless indulgences, but nothing is ever dealt with or explained or examined.
It's no, awful. No.
It set us up with quite a banquet of ideas and then did not let us sit at that table.
No.
That's it. Perfect.
Because I think if you are correct, Ralph, and I think that's what they're trying to hint at.
Yeah.
That this is the half figment baby.
Yeah.
Then that means that basically once you mingle any figment matter with real matter enough, it should be able to leave the room anyway. Because otherwise, the zygote should have dusted. Any food they eat should dust in. Mm-hmm. So you can just like mix stuff up. Like I guess you could like mix real mud with gold enough and then it would exist outside the room or something.
Maybe it's like on a chemical, like once it binds chemically.
Okay.
You remember like an early chemistry class, you talk about physical change and chemical changes.
Yeah.
And chemical changes were permanent. When it's a chemical change, it's permanent and then it's okay. That sticks.
Yeah.
When it's just physical. You can undo it. It doesn't stick.
Oof. Right. Still feels like you could, if you figured out that loophole, you could get a lot out of that room by doing chemical changes that are easily reversible. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of chemical changes that do go both ways if you just put energy back into them, right?
Yep, 100%.
Boof. Yeah. Mm.
Make some crude oil, turn it to gasoline, have a refinery set up in your house.
Yeah, get a cracker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crack these big, long hydrocarbons and make, you know, gasoline. Sure.
Yeah. Do that. And these guys were making fake money, paintings, and some friggin' cheap champagne.
And showering diamonds over them, because that's a comfortable thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. That just hurts.
Yeah.
Ow, these are sharp. Why are you doing this? Ow.
Ow, my eye.
You know, up until like we had the twist of the inside of the room becoming the outside.
Yeah.
I thought really this movie, it's basically the reason for this movie was to get Olga, what's her name, in a teddy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get her in a teddy and pour diamonds over her.
Yeah. That's definitely.
It had that indie feel of like, I feel like the filmmaker and the writer and the actors probably know each other personally. And they pitched this film. They
came or at least, and pitched the film. Yeah.
Friends. I didn't look into that, but I got a bit of a vibe of like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My first thought was, oh, this comes from source material, which is probably well done. Mm-hmm. But then they've just stripped it all away because they just want to get to like the visual stuff.
Yeah.
And no, he wrote it. The guy who directed it wrote it. So
yeah. Oh. And even included in the credits that like idea by one of the screenwriters. So,
oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got drunk. He had a cool idea.
Yeah.
And then didn't quite know how to write it into a full film that actually made thematic sense.
Right. Didn't we see this in like a Star Trek episode of the 1960s called Shore Leave?
I don't. No. Okay. So there is a Star Trek episode in the original one where they go to an island that keeps making robots of what they wish for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does do some weird things. So I think one guy starts vaguely thinking of like a World War II fighter jet and then they gets killed by a World War II jet. Comes out of nowhere. Yeah. The aliens that were trying to be nice to them were not very good at it. And they didn't warn them that they were doing that.
Well, actually, that was better because the thing created the things they needed but didn't know they needed.
Yeah.
Because Kirk got in a big fight with this guy. He used to pick on him in school.
He's like high school bully.
Yeah, and beat the crap out of him, right? And he's like, oh, I felt great. But he didn't know he needed it.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was just like the only time there was any sort of cost was when it was a child.
Yeah.
Nothing happened with the other things. They didn't get arrested for, you know, having rare art.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if someone's going to break into your house and being like, you got Picasso's in here. I don't know if that's how that works.
But there was no cost for anything other than the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a part of the problem is too, is that they raise the issue of, you know, the child can only exist if its creator gets killed, but the child never wants to exist outside the room. Like either never quite figures that out or never wants to kill his mother.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a tension that is set up and then.
Yeah. Abandoned.
He's not fighting for himself. Right.
Yeah.
He's just fighting for whatever he thinks he's supposed to do. Cause he's a baby.
Yeah.
In the body of a 12-year-old
and the hormones of a 12-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah.
100% correct. But that's just in keeping with this whole movie. Like everything feels like that. Right?
Yeah.
The setup of like, why is the child jealous of the father?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he never seen that thing before. They didn't let him watch dirty flicks.
Exactly. So everything exists on the surface, right? Yeah. It's all surface. Like what does the mother learn? Oh, maybe I shouldn't create life in the without thinking about it, right?
It feels like the lesson, maybe I shouldn't create life willy-nilly.
Yeah.
That seems like we should all know that already.
We should already kind of know that one. We should know that one. But
that should be baseline.
Apparently doesn't. And like, how did they save the relationship through killing?
I don't think it is saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But at the end,
I think it's a tenuous relationship.
Yeah.
Like why did she left the house and goes driving for a couple of days, leaving her husband with the kid who that she knows he wants to do harm to.
Yeah.
Can't.
This
movie.
But when she comes back, they're like cuddling and asleep reading a book. It's like, what?
She was trying to Willy Loman herself. She was trying to drive off the road, but she didn't have the courage for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Willy Loman.
Yeah.
Will you never learn?
I think it would have been neat if the kid was, I don't know how he would be, But if the kid was smarter and fighting for himself more, to bring it back to Star Trek, let's not do the TOS. Let's do the TNG. Like he's a Professor Moriarty hologram, and he's trying to figure out how to get out, right? Yeah. And he's trying like, and it would be neat if he was being a creature of the room, somehow had a sense of the rules better. And so like he figured it out better. Like, I guess he kind of did in that he figured out how to do the outside inside.
Yes.
Yeah. But, and at the end, when his fake parents were trying to escape, he kept rearranging the house. They couldn't get out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he did seem to have a better understanding of how the room could work and manipulate it much quicker than his parents could.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of thought the ending was going to be they would trap the kid inside and he thinks that he's with the mother.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Or like lock him in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have been happy in that room if they just kept the door locked from the other side.
Yeah.
Take the key out. They no longer have the room. The kid's happy forever in a universe that he has complete control of.
Yeah.
And is like unto a god. And it matches the TNG version better because that's kind of what they do to Moriarty. Yeah. They put him in a fake holodeck and let him go explore the universe.
One of the best endings of an episode ever.
Yeah.
Maybe we're all just on a box somewhere in someone's living room.
So let's find that writer. Let's send him the box set of TNG.
Yeah.
And I think the next one will be better. I think there's an idea here. I don't think it quite worked out.
Room two?
I think it'll have to be someone else trying again from scratch.
Yeah.
I think someone will take, it'll be another version of this that someone else goes, okay, I got a wish granting room. Here's my separate mechanism for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what you can do with this idea.
Because I did. I liked a couple of the ideas in here, and I thought they were good. But and then
someone had an idea, not a story, and then they managed to get someone to film it.
Yeah, the foundation was great, but the execution was just mind-blowingly nothing.
Yeah, and also that power company guy never came back. And
that's what is all that
room? that's got to be an expensive room. Their power bill.
Oh, right.
They're 3 months. They're getting that power bill soon, and it's not going to be good.
But if it's alchemy, it could be self-sufficient.
Maybe.
Maybe. Magic, baby.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming on and joining me for this discussion. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much to Megan. Thanks so much to Ralph.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners who joined us as well. We'll have another movie for you soon. Well, that's what we came up with, but we want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter at BreakAWishPod, email breakawishpod@gmail.com, join the BreakAWish discussion group on Facebook, and you can support the show by writing a review, telling a friend, or buying a t-shirt on TeePublic. All this information at breakawish.ca. For more Ralph McLeod, he's one of the owners of the Social Capital Theater. They aren't open right now, but they're still running online classes that Ralph teaches. Find the information at socap.ca. For more Megan McConnell, follow her on Instagram at ragdollvintage. This is a Kicks and Giggles entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, themed by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. So, what would you wish for?
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.